show studio. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Yes, it is Sunday night. Once again, we're back live in studio. Thanks for joining us, guys. Listeners around the world, welcome back to studio. This is your Mystifying Oracle of Radio, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Hello, hello.
And we're back, and I don't feel like we ever left. In fact, I don't feel like I ever get to leave this room,
actually. I know. It's been a long week. It's good to be back.
It's wonderful to be back.
The mics are hot. Smells like a beer. Actually, tonight it smells like Angry Orchard hard cider. Hey, Demon Hunter, listen. Somebody got me this. They got me this Angry Orchard. They said, you got to try it. And it's a hard cider. I usually don't do that fruity stuff. It showed up.
I was going to say, that sounds a bit fruity for you, Sean.
Well, the hard cider's hard. Let me just say that. It's very hard.
Fruity Sean likes it hard.
Okay. Fruity Sean.
In the news. Fruity Sean likes it
hard. I'm ready for sex.
I do. What is going on, listeners around the world? We're so glad to have you back. We are live in studio. We got a hot guest tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got so much stuff to talk about. Tonight's band, Demon Hunter. Oh, my God. Huh?
You seem excited, Sean.
I'm very excited. One of my all-time favorite bands in the world. I've seen them live here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. It's Here Come the Mummies, guys. You can find out more about them at herecomethemummies.com. Let me throw in the www.herecomethemummies.com. It's the terrifying funk from beyond the grave, guys. And these cats are wild. I can't say enough. They do so much out here in the Midwest. And, for you guys that don't know, they show up in, they're mummies.
Mummies?
Yeah, they're mummies. And they show up dressed like mummies, and they pump out hits like this, you know, tunes like that, little ditties. And they work, man. I was getting my funk on. I was revving it up. So I tell you guys, all the mummies, because they don't give their names, huh? They're like the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. They're very lucid. They're,
Are you kidding? We want everyone to know our name.
Yeah, we do, actually. If you guys were wondering, it's, there's some stuff out there. These guys are Grammy winners, and look at it. Look what they're doing. Listen to the sound, huh? And they've been all over the place, man. They've been on TV, huh? They've been on TV shows like Big Shots, Fired Up, The Loop, and a lot of you guys would know Scrubs. I know I used to watch that. Of course, Bob and Tom Show started out here in Indiana, where I'm at. Of course, it's syndicated now over the world. Coast to coast, hopefully where your G&D show will be. Hello, Sirius XM Radio.
Hey,
if you're
we're
listening
all over the world.
Yeah, we are. We're just not getting paid. Bob and Tom's getting paid. Big shout out, right. Bob and Tom. Huh?
Right. I forgot that part.
And our good friend Howard Stern. Howie. Yeah, we will join you one day. They need another. They need some host to do another. Dark conspiracy theory, UFOs, ghost kind of show with everything funky and weird with a comedy approach. We're the only ones out there doing this right now, bro.
Well, then why aren't we famous by now, Sean?
You got Art Bell. Show
we're infamous.
We're infamous. That's right. We're the outlaws. The people that are in the field say don't go to them, but it seemed like Hollywood liked us a lot, at least for a week or however long it was. But anyway, man.
Long enough to buy us a drink and tell us we are beautiful and then spend a night with us. And then we woke up in the morning feeling sore.
Grab a butt cheek.
I'm ready for sex.
Yes, I am. In fact, I'm always ready. But hey, I got to tell you, I was driving to work this week, which sucks. But I was going to work. And I was on 465. It was one of the, 465. And I'm going towards the airport. And I seen a cloud. Shaped like a kangaroo / UFO. Flying saucer.
A kangaroo UFO.
A kangaroo. It looked like...
Now, was this a UFO piloted by kangaroos or a UFO in the shape of a kangaroo? In which case, wouldn't it be in the shape of a kangaroo and not a UFO?
See, are you contesting, brother, that UFOs might not look like kangaroos? They could. They could look like kangaroos.
I'm pretty sure they're... If they're out there, they're a little more aerodynamic.
You think so?
I think so. But go ahead with your story, please.
You don't know. Wrong. But it did. It looked like a UFO.
With your story of the kangaroo UFO.
It looked like a UFO with a kangaroo's head on it. And it was driving around. It kept circling.
Oh, it was driving around now.
It was moving at a fast pace around the Yeah.
In a long time.
It was going around the airport. It circled a couple times. I watched it. A lot of people. Yeah. Could have been the witch, Wicked Witch of the East. I don't know. But, yeah, I was watching it, and we were sitting there, and I got this other guy's attention. I said, listen, man, you know, I'm not big on alien conspiracies.
You a pothead fucker?
But, no. Not anymore. But, no, I wasn't smoking weed or anything that day. But, you know, I seen, you could even see the windows on it. And it stayed around for a minute. I went in, I clocked in at work, and I came back out, and it was gone. Huh?
See the windows on the kangaroo UFO.
Windows on a kangaroo. It had the head. It looked like maybe it was an Aussie kangaroo. Maybe the Aussies are UFOs. You ever think about that?
The oh. You know, Sean, I thought I was ready for this report. I really did. You told me about it, and you said, I'm going to talk about the UFO cloud. And I thought, sure, no problem. And now you're telling me you got someone's attention with this. Sean, you would have gotten my attention, too. You would have gotten my attention, and I would have called the nearest hospital.
Yeah. Well, I can't help it. I've been feeling weird all week after I seen this. I mean, I don't feel anally probed or anything, but I... my God, I even paused. I even paused. For
huh? You left me a wonder there.
Oh, my God, I left it. You can use that later. You reserve the right.
I'm here for the gangbang.
We'll fix it in the mix. But so let me get this straight. You were at work at the airport and saw a kangaroo UFO flying around. And say anybody in the tower or control or anybody also noticed this that might have done something about it?
Well, no. I mean, you know, a lot of these people, they're not skilled. They don't know what to look for, air traffic controller. And anyway, the government covers it up,
Oh, that's right. And they...
A kangaroo head on a UFO. I'm telling you, it was there. I seen it, and I'm going to write
the
story.
Take a picture, Sean.
Yeah.
Is there a fuzzy picture of your kangaroo UFO? Is there a fuzzy kangaroo picture? Mm-hmm. UFO.
I should have took a picture.
Not funny, haha. Funny queer.
It would have been funny. It would have been funny.
Not funny, haha. Funny queer.
But I told you I wasn't feeling right, man. I went to the gas pump the next day, and I'm sitting there, and this tune comes on, much like the Mummy's tunes. You know, it was funkadelic, man. And I'm going. You ever heard a tune and it just kind of takes you away and you start clapping your hands and fingers? I wasn't doing that at the gas pump. But before I knew it, gas was pouring out all on my shoes. So it's kind of embarrassing. There's a couple chicks.
So you experienced a moment of lost time.
I think a piece of my brain's missing.
I could have told you that.
Don't be a moron.
It's been a while for the brain to be missing there. But that's it. I mean, you know, I seen a movie the other day.
Was there a kangaroo UFO in it?
No kangaroo UFO that I know of, but it could be a government cover.
Nobody stole your idea of the kangaroo.
No one stole my idea.
You know there'll be a blockbuster film of it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you told it on the radio.
Well, I didn't get to see it, actually, but it's called Sex Squatch. The big guy apparently has made porn. I don't think it's a porno. I don't know. I didn't get to see it, but I am. I'm going to watch it tonight. I forget. I think I seen it on Netflix, so it can't be porn. But can you imagine that?
No, I can't. And please don't put the image in my head. I will not be able to get it out for the rest of the evening.
Hey, if Bigfoot catches you and he lays into you, you best just let him finish. Don't squirm.
I'm ready for sex.
Hey, Sean, you don't have to run faster than a horny Bigfoot. You just have to run faster than the guy standing next to you.
Oh, you're not going to be able to outrun me.
Punch you in the mouth.
Yes. Okay, well, what do you got, Demon Hunter? That's,
Oh, well, my week's been very, very mild compared to your kangaroo UFO, Sean. I mean, I've been experiencing the wonder of springtime in New England, which means basically one day it's 20 degrees and one day it's 70.
But you don't have a boring life. You're a sex demon.
You sex demon?
us. You weren't supposed to tell anybody.
Okay, what happened?
I got a demon inside me.
You do. You got something inside you. Zing.
But it's been one of those weeks where I've gotten back into barbecuing, Sean.
Yeah. You barbecue.
Because when spring comes, real men don't cook indoors anymore. We go outside and we light a fire. Nowadays, with a nice propane tank and
yes.
a steel, barbecue.
Right.
And we cook outdoors like real men.
Do you catch squirrel, like wild, in the yard and throw them on the grill?
No, I feed the squirrels.
Do you put blood?
That's only because I'm trying to lure the squirrels in. That's why I feed them. So when the zombie apocalypse does hit, there'll be plenty of food around. I can just reach out my window, grab a squirrel.
I gotta watch you.
Yeah. Do you, like, kill the neighbor's dog and smear the blood over your face and cook it?
Where are you from, man?
Animalistic. You're talking about tribe and being
Where
outside.
Would you even go with that?
Well, being in the caveman days, that would have happened. Can you imagine having a caveman next to you? He would have killed your dog. Cavemen have pet animals?
No. A caveman would have looked at the fact that you trained a dog and think you were a wizard or a shaman or a spirit.
I am yes. a shaman.
Because I am just that powerful that I know how to train a dog. And don't. I can still play with fire.
You play with fire. You got to be careful with that. Do you douse it with gas to get it going faster, or do you just...
I have a gas grill. Who are we joking here?
I wonder if you didn't have a gas grill back in the day. I bet you're one of those guys that stacks... I know you're one of those guys that would stack the charcoal in a perfect formation. Because I remember you came over the house one night and it was snowing. Guys, listen, I'm going to interrupt Nate. Nathan comes in. He's been on the road. How many? 2 days from Connecticut or 16 hours or whatever?
No, 16 hours. I did it all in one day. Drove out to your house.
Jesus, Pete. Okay, so you come over. So, ladies and gentlemen, listeners around the world, Nate comes to the house. Nathan Schoonover, a.k.a. Demon Hunter. And for Sirius Radio, you listen in there. And he comes over to my house. I open it up. He's got snow all over him. Oh, man, I've been on the road for 16 hours. I said, well, come in, man. I got a fire ready. I'll get you a cold beer, a good movie on. And he came over, and he couldn't help it because he walked past the fireplace as he was getting warm. He goes, you know, if you stack those logs long ways, it'll get better heat. And I said, oh, man, shut up. So that's...
Did it get better heat?
That's my Nathan story. I never did it. I rebelled against you.
So you've just poorly been heating your house.
Yeah.
For the last 6 years, just to prove that you don't need to use my little tip there.
Just that you are wrong. That's right. I did. No.
You can't say that I'm wrong.
If you get a fire hot enough, it doesn't matter if you stand the log up straight, it'll burn.
But it doesn't project the heat out. No, you know what? I'm not even getting in with it. I'm not getting into it with you.
You're getting into it with me. What's wrong with you?
You just can't help it, can you? You got it.
Okay, what's your stories? I'm done. What happened this week with you? Are you interesting? What happened?
Nothing interesting happened to me this week. I mean, it's just been one of those weeks where Chrissy P., my wonderful wife, has been away for working on a play that she's working on. Mm-hmm. And my roommate, Charles, has been away because he's working on a musical. And so I've been home alone. So all I've been doing is cooking and eating. And it gets very boring after a while. So I've taken to actually taking pictures of my food and posting them on the internet.
Oh, I've seen that. I thought you were kind of going off your gourd there for a minute.
You can't help yourself. You're, like I said, you're alone in a studio for how many hours a day? And then you turn around, and the only thing you have to do to entertain yourself is watch birds and cook food.
Man, we're losing it, man. Now you're sitting at the microphone, probably naked. You have jars of...
No. I have my smoking jacket on.
You have jars and fingernail clippings.
I'm not even getting into it.
Somebody comes to the door and pushes the doorbell and says...
I'm here for the gangbang.
And you're wearing your smoking jacket. Oh, man. Oh.
And I look and say, you're in the wrong state. You're looking for the ghost man. I'm the demon hunter.
I'm here for the gangbang.
And bird watching. Yes. Gangbang and bird watch. Okay, demon hunter, we better do this before I forget like always. You ready?
Well, I guess so. By the way, it is, I think we're on a full month. No cigars in the studio.
No cigars.
I'm smoking the blue cigarette and the blue e-cig, and still, no one has died. I haven't had to kill anyone for nicotine withdrawal. So thank you, blue e-cig, for keeping me out of jail.
Yeah, have they gave us any money for sponsorship yet or anything?
No.
Buy a pencil for the studio? My God.
You think they'd give me a free pack of e-cigs or something.
Tie days.
I'm here for the gangbang.
All right. Demon Hunter, listeners around the world.
Yes.
Tonight's guest. From the New York Times bestsellers list, author, lecturer, actor, Max Brooks, creator of the book that will soon be a blockbuster movie, World War Z. Max is going to tell what happens when the world falls apart to the zombies. Tonight, the G&D Nation meets the zombie hordes as we head to war. World War Z, guys. Huh? Max Brooks. Max Brooks in studio, coming by tonight. You ready, Demon Hunter?
I'm always ready.
You ready for it?
Of course.
All right. Well, I didn't know. You sounded kind of puzzled there for a minute. I didn't know.
Well, I wasn't sure how long you were going to go with that.
He wrote the book World War Z, and it's now the upcoming Brad Pitt movie, of course.
I've gotten to see the preview of it.
Yeah.
You go to the movies, you see the previews before. They're called trailers, but they come at the beginning now, which is confusing. So I call them the preview. I went in, I saw it. It started, you know, with the typical Brad Pitt, he's sitting in the car with his family kind of thing, and all of a sudden, you know, everything just goes hectic, all at once, crazy kind of stuff, and I was sitting there thinking, oh no, they made a movie about Sean, he's gonna make a rampage across the city.
My uprising.
Like a Godzilla thing.
I know. My uprising. Are you ready for Max? Max Brooks tonight.
I am oh so ready.
You know, he is the son. You told me this, and I looked it up and found it. He's the son, guys, of the Jewish film actor, director, Mel Brooks.
You had to throw the Jewish part in there. You're reading that off of, like, Wikipedia, aren't you?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. I did earlier, but Wikipedia. No, Jewish.
A ton of space balls. Just get it right the first time.
It's Mel Brooks, man. Yes. It's Mel Brooks.
But he's accomplished so much on his own.
Yeah. Yo. Well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's that goes without saying, man. He's got a major motion picture coming out. There you go, Max. It's beautiful. It's not his. I don't know. That's what we're going to talk to him about tonight.
It's based on his book.
Based on his book. Yeah. Apparently, Pitt bought the rights as soon as it came out and said, "We're going to make this into a movie." So here it is. And I'm sure it was a very healthy sum. And he said, "Here you go. God bless you."
You think Brad was like going through books one day and he's reading, you know, World War Z.
Angelina Jolie was on his butt. He's like, Jesus, yeah, nag.
He's sitting there going, you know, vampires are over. Zombies are in.
Right.
I need a zombie movie. And it just happened to be a book sitting on his coffee table or something. And he said, well, let me read this. Or do you think somebody brought it to him? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out because I want to know how you get somebody like Brad Pitt to read your book and turn it into a movie.
Hey,
I guess we'll have to ask him that.
Yeah, but he never did vampires, did he?
Yeah. No.
I'm saying that zombies are out. Brad Pitt was saying that zombies are out, or vampires are out. Zombies are in.
Mm-hmm. When's Brad coming on the show, man, with Jolie?
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
I was talking to him about it, and...
They coming on?
They just feel that we'd overshadow him a little bit, so...
Yeah, baby!
I think they love us. I know Angelina Jolie.
Know we are.
Huh?
I don't think they know who we are, so it's fine.
How do you know? They might stay up late and watch our old sitcom.
Our old sitcom,
Extreme Paranormal, yeah. They might. I know a lot of women do, for me, when they was on the thing. When I was on the thing. The swimsuit edition!
That thing you did that time.
Yeah.
Got you on Chubarama. You got an honorable mention on Chubarama.
I got an honorable mention. I didn't get a picture on Chubarama. I was a runner-up. I didn't make Chubarama. I got an honorable mention. You know, I found out that's not just for, you know... That's for big guys, not like wimpy small guys like yourself. I mean, it's for full, you know, it's for men with, you know, broad shoulders. And don't be mad because I have the body of a man, of a god, a Greek god.
Contact me again when you can actually grow a mustache. I've seen the picture.
I don't want a mustache. A lot of great men have no mustache. Caesar. Caesar, yeah. And then Buddha.
Like he shaved his whole body.
Yeah, he did, actually. But then Abraham Lincoln, huh?
Well, he only grew a beard because a little girl told him his face looked too rigid without it.
Yeah, because he had
his appearance. Are you looking to soften your appearance, Sean? Are you not soft enough?
I do. I need to be more. I need to be more soft.
Uh huh. It's the bear.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So what's up? You know, we're doing this here. We're trying to stay on schedule tonight, guys, because, you know, we just get off on our own. We start talking here. What, you know, we got to get the phone lines hooked up. We had those before for you guys, the call-in lines, and nobody ever called in. Remember that, Demon Hunter?
Oh, yeah. We paid for them every week, and we'd get one call every now and then from somebody saying, there's banging in the apartment next door.
That poor guy. You know, we told him, how many times did we tell him? 100 times. Hey, listen, we are not, you know, experts in anything here, guys. We are radio show host, and they think just because we did the ghost show, the paranormal, extreme paranormal, that we knew everything.
We don't even remember the name of our own show anymore.
Yeah. Well, it was,
Googly moogly.
Yeah. We had done that show, and we had done it because of our comedy. That's why they got us, and then all of a sudden we were professional ghost people.
Well, we learned fast.
Yes.
We knew the trade. We just
we knew the trade. We've been out. We know a lot of, but that guy called and said the banging, and you told him, well, who's next to you? Is it newlywed couple or whatever? He never did call back.
Well, I thought maybe the headboard against the wall next door, you never know.
Yeah.
Give me some sugar, baby.
That's the investigations I want to go on with that kind of thing. But
Sean's knocking on the door next door. You know, I'm here for the gangbang.
Yeah, I'm here. You would. Oh, here we go.
I'm here for the gangbang.
What?
I'm here for the gangbang.
Here for the gangbang? Yeah, man. But, we had to call in line. Nobody called in. But I wanted to say hats off to last week's band, The Scared Stiffs. TheScaredStiffs.com, guys. You can check those out. They sent a huge care package. They didn't have to do that, Demon Hunter, but they sent a care package to our fans, and Nate and I is going to talk, and we'll be able to get we'll come up with some way to raffle that off to you guys. We try to give you free stuff, people. G&D Nation.
We've tried to do it over Twitter. We've tried to do it over email. But apparently, the only way we're going to be able to pull this off is if we do it over the phone. That way we make people listen to the show live if they want it.
Right. I think they're afraid. I think they're afraid to call it. Guys, we're just people. We're just people.
Well, I'm a person.
If you cut me, I bleed. I think so. If you cut me, I bleed. Yeah.
You're probably some kind of person. I've seen your daughter. She's cute.
So. Yeah, she's beautiful. I think she was brother.
Actually, yours. You're probably a person.
Yeah. Well, it happens every once in a while. But what do you want to do now? You want to do some news?
We could do that.
We could do
I'm
some.
I'm ready. News. I actually have a news story right here.
Without further ado, G&D Nation. In the news, always hot, always exciting, fresh, new, and it starts right now. I heard you.
It's not my fault. You stepped on my line, man.
I did. I was trying to hold out. No! I was trying to hold out for you.
You were, like, getting the tension really out there.
I was. I was trying to get everybody excited.
Hey, Sean, is anybody missing a giant head?
Well, I know somebody that...
Okay, never mind. A college crew team...
Hold on a second.
...went floating in the river.
Oh.
This is from NBC News. Yeah. A huge foam and fiberglass head was discovered floating in New York's Hudson River.
There's a lot of things.
Earlier this week.
Yeah.
And days later, nobody knows where it came from.
Hoo-ah!
There you go. The head, which is at least 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide, was found Monday morning by the college men's team. I guess that's the Marist Marist College Men's Team.
What were the...
Oh, by the way, folks, we are doing the G&D drinking game. Every time we mispronounce something, you have to take a drink. Unless you're driving, we don't promote drinking.
Who that?
The coach, who was in the motorboat, took a quick spin out of the investigate it, and was baffled, as anyone would be who saw such a thing.
How did he take a quick spin when he's in a boat, rowboat team, or
well,
whatever?
Well, he was in the adjacent motorboat.
Who that?
But because, well, you don't expect the coach to actually row, do you?
Well, yeah.
But because of the navigation hazard, he felt it was his duty to haul it in. It took about 10 minutes of his team's time to actually bring it to shore. Because it was waterlogged, it was weighted and to at least a couple hundred pounds. You want to make a joke about a 100-pound head, Sean? No? Okay. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just wait. I was looking for the clip.
I was giving you the couple hundred-pound head joke.
Well, I was trying to make the connection. Our listeners and viewers deserve better. I can't just throw these half attempts at
the head, which was foam cord, but is covered with fiberglass shell.
Yeah,
and has melted rods in it. Or metal rods in it. There you go, folks. Have a drink.
Yeah.
Has had a home in the front of the Marist boathouse since it was dragged from the water.
Yeah.
So, that's a big head.
So they took time out of their busy schedule of rowing nowhere.
Yes.
Yes. Rowing and, in a swimming pool.
If you want to go check it out, folks, it's down in Poughkeepsie, New York. I actually have friends down there with the Poughkeepsie Paranormal Group.
Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, Poughkeepsie.
Isn't that great?
I'm ready for sex.
That name just gets me going there.
I bet it does.
It does. It does. Poughkeepsie. And you got a friend there that does that, and they're in the...
Poughkeepsie Paranormal, right? Poughkeepsie. I can get in touch with them. Maybe they'll go down and get a picture of it for us.
Maybe he'll go down. Ooh. Scene 5!
Pound head. There you go.
Look, I brought up the clips, guys. For tonight's news segment. Now, you see that one in the middle? That's how I picture this next story.
Huh? Yes, you do. In the hot tub? Of course.
Yeah, she's in the... No, it's a bathtub, Demon. Don't ruin this moment for me. Don't ruin... You gotta ruin every moment for me. Give me this.
I'm here for the gangbang.
See? I don't have much. Give me it. See? Okay, let's bring this up here. In the news, Sarasota allegedly crawls through doggy door naked. Very important. Sits in bathtub. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
Comes from the Huffington Post, I think.
Yes.
Somewhere like that. There you go. Breaking and entering is still illegal, Demon Hunter. Even when you do it doggy style.
You'd like this story.
Yeah, I would. A woman in Weatherford, Texas, no less, learned that the hard way when she allegedly got naked, broke into a home. I'm going to start leaving my doors open tonight. Threw the family's doggy door and went straight for the bathtub. Sarah Elizabeth Soto was found sitting in a tub. A man living at the home heard Soto roaming around at about 1:45 a.m. Tuesday and called police. His initial search of the home revealed that the doggy door was busted and a black dress was on the ground outside. So she took off her dress to get in there. You think there were some drugs?
That could be.
I don't know. I mean, you never know.
Well, you'd know better than me, Sean. Tell me.
I'm here for the gangbang.
I don't know. That would be kind of crazy drugs. Some people can't hold their liquor, though. You never know. When the police arrived, they found 25-year-old Soto still in the bathtub. She maintained that she entered the home to use the telephone. That's what she said in the New York Daily News report. She was charged with a misdemeanor, trespassing, and criminal mischief. And she was mischief. You know what I mean? She was very
Sounds like a little mischievous. Mischief maker there.
She sounds like a good girl to me. You know what I mean? I mean, where is the women like that anymore? Where has this world gone to? You know,
you can find them, John. You just have to go down to the hospital and ask to meet them on visitation days.
Are they out there still?
I'm sure they are.
Well, I hope so, and I'll be looking for them.
Hey.
Yes, I love those girls. Yeah, I can't ever find them, though. Well, I used to, back in the day when I was in college. Some of them would come crawling. Anyway, she's not the only naked doggy door trespasser. Earlier this month, a naked California man Here you go, Demon Hunter. Went through his neighbor's doggy door in an apparent attempt to have sex with the man's wife. According to the Weekly Vice, police say Philip John Garcia, 41, was intoxicated when he pulled the stunt. The woman whose husband had just left to Garcia showed up, kicked Garcia out, and slammed a door in his face. She then called police. I guess the woman's okay. She's home, and she's putting Sab on her knees from crawling through the doggy door. Huh?
I guess you're right, Sean. You would know, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You had to take it, didn't you? I don't blame you. I took a punch.
They don't have...
That's what we do on the show.
The doggy door is big enough for you to fit through, do you? I've got to make sure that...
I don't know. I have that of a man's body. I don't think they do. I don't think I could... I don't think I could.
They do. They're just called doors, though.
I'm proud of you. Huh?
Oops. It really sucks to get old, John.
It does?
This is news coming to us from Yahoo News. Rescues. A 93-year-old woman was rescued by medics in Philadelphia in April after spending several days stuck to her own toilet.
Okay.
According to KYW-TV, she has with a portion of the toilet still stuck tightly to her body. I'm wondering if she just kind of slid through it and got stuck. I don't think it was so cold in April that she just stuck to it and couldn't get off for days. At least, you know, she knew where she was going to go while she was there. Like she had to worry about where she was going to get to go to the bathroom, huh?
Yeah, she's there. She'll be all right. So, she could become dehydrated, though, unless the sink was...
In Tooting, England, in May, an unnamed senior was rescued after firefighters had to get his testicles unsnagged, which had caught in the shower seat, which he had been sitting on while bathing. There you go, Sean. I'm leaving testicles open for 3 seconds so you can make a joke.
Hold on. Give me 3 seconds there.
I don't know how you like when I leave testicles out there.
Hold on. Here you go. Wasn't that perfect?
There. And the Partridge Medical Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Partridge family runs that, do they?
The medical center apologized and paid the bill in June for exhuming the body of a recently deceased man.
Yeah.
The man who had shared a hospital room with the first man in his final days had reported that his dentures were missing.
Okay.
And the hospital determined that they had mistakenly buried the dentures with the first man.
Did he want them back? I mean...
Apparently he did. So they dug up the... Rather than paying to have the man made a new pair of dentures, they paid to dig up the body.
That's phony.
The first set.
That's funny. That's phony. They couldn't do that.
They did.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. How much would it cost to excavate a body?
A lot more than a pair of dentures, which is...
Is that what you say, excavate?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought the terms were. So what else happened?
It sucks to get old.
Yeah. Was that it? Is that the moral of the story?
That's the moral of the story.
Jeez, OP.
Inconceivable!
Is that all you got? Michael Selachki takes acid and asks police to cut his penis off. You like that one, Demon Hunter?
This story made me cringe, Sean.
You know, you like this story. He, you know, the acid, man, you know? You gotta be careful on that stuff, man. You got to, because if you do too much acid, you end up doing things like that. Yes, you wanted to cut his wee wee off. Okay, here we go, guys, with the story. What was you gonna say?
Not from personal experience, you don't know these.
No, I never cut my wiener off. This guy's bad trip could have cost him his tip. Okay, police say University of Florida student Michael Selachki, 19, drink up, guys. I'm sure I mispronounced Selachki. 19, huh?
We're doing well. You pronounced it wrong.
Yeah. 19. He's 19 years old. Claimed to be on LSD Saturday when he stripped naked, asking cops not to cut his penis off. He then apparently changed his mind and requested that they do cut his penis off. The Gainesville Sun had reported on this. The authorities were dispatched to a Gainesville apartment complex around 1:25 a.m. What's up with people at 1:30, 1:25 a.m., huh?
I don't know. You and I are just getting home from work at that time.
Yeah. I don't see no women naked in my parking lot crawling into my bathtub, and I definitely don't see a guy asking to have his penis cut off. Apparently that's on your side of town. Right?
Only when you show up.
Oh, it's low. Authorities were dispatched to a Gainesville apartment complex around 1:25 a.m. after receiving reports of suspicious person. They say Selechki, drink again, guys, take a big shot, big whiskey shot, was there ambling around, and when they approached him, he started taking his clothes off. Cops also say he told them he was God, according to a police report obtained by Independent Florida Alligator. Wait a second. There was an alligator that's independent. Oh, it must be a name of a magazine or something. The alleged God impersonator then said, "Don't cut my penis off. Do not cut my penis off," before demanding that they cut his penis off. This is getting very, very confusing, Demon Hunter. To cut or not to cut? This is the question, my friend.
Okay. You think he had a problem, Sean?
He could have. I mean,
I think maybe, just maybe, this man had a problem.
Don't cut my penis off. And then he demanded for them to cut his penis off. He allegedly stated that he had taken LSD. That had to be some strong stuff. But police were not able to determine whether or not this was true. Selechki drank, allegedly refused to get dressed, and punched an officer in the head. Bad move. After he tried to walk away, and they tried to restrain him, according to the report. They used a stun gun on him, Demon Hunter, 6 times, but it had no effect on him. Duh, because he was on LSD.
That's LSD for you.
Yeah, good stuff. He was taken to a hospital where, we don't condone LSD use. He was taken to the hospital where he was treated for 3 days, according to Dreamin' Demon, whoever that is. He also, maybe he's related to you, Demon Hunter. He also allegedly spit on one of the employees when he got there. After his release, he was booked into a jail on charges of battery on a medical care provider, battery on a law enforcement officer, and resisting an officer there, guys. There you go, from sunny Florida, no less. The Sunshine State, he'll be getting 3 squares and a college degree.
And let's hope that...
very soon.
You know, he's probably going to wish, if he stays in that prison very long, that they had cut something off there, Sean, or at least corked something up.
He'll be a college professor by year end, man. He'll probably be... I'll probably have to pay him to get a degree finished up, you know?
Yeah, well, hey... Speaking of police, the police are searching for Spider-Man.
Who's not?
Well, the police are searching for Spider-Man in Hollywood after he grabbed $6,000 in cash.
Okay.
There's a rogue superhero on the loose in Hollywood.
Rogue?
A rogue. This comes from NBC News.
Is it Iron Man?
Not yet. Police are on the hunt for Spider-Man after the masked web slinger snatched a paper bag filled with $6,000 in cash and credit card information from an employee of the Star Lines Tour Bus Company.
Is he actually slinging webs? I mean, does he have legitimate little superpowers? Have superpowers?
It happened Friday morning as the workers was leaving the firm's Hollywood Boulevard headquarters in Los Angeles. The police department. I'm sorry. My microphone's in the way.
Inconceivable!
Your microphone's wet.
My microphone's in the way.
Darn it!
The department, a watch commander at Hollywood Division told NBC News. So, hoping their web-headed didn't make it too far, police had to start rounding up all the other Spidey impersonators who were seen milling around the area.
How many impersonators is there out there?
Well, it's near the TCL Chinese Theater, formerly Grauman's Chinese Theater, a tourist mecca.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's where the guy punched the kid last week, or kicked him or whatever, the three-year-old.
Also in a Spider-Man costume, I believe, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
So far, no arrests have been made. Other local superheroes, among them Superman, Batman, and Catwoman... Isn't she a villain? Not a superhero. Anyway.
I think Batman and her started getting together and she joined forces or swapped teams. I don't know.
All right, we're turning into geeks.
Inconceivable! I've
said that they would help the police in a search for the masked villains around Hollywood's Walk of Fame. The Starling Tours is the oldest and largest sightseeing tour company in Los Angeles, according to its website.
Okay.
According to them. According to us, yeah. We're the greatest voices on radio.
Yeah, we are. According to the world.
It offers tours of Hollywood and the city of L.A.
Untapped.
As a celebrity home.
Inconceivable!
This isn't the only shady Spider-Man to act out in Hollywood Boulevard. In 2009, a Spider-Man impersonator hit a man in the face and arms.
What did he do that for?
Wasn't Spider-Man last week, I know. So.
Yeah.
There you go, Sean. Your hero, Spider-Man.
They're going to have to stop hitting police. You know, that's
It's weird because I realize this is these people's trade. They dress up like superheroes and they stand out on the street and they perform and people throw them change and stuff. But this is why, like in New York Central Park, you're not allowed to wear masks anymore. Because people use the fact that people would wear masks for this kind of thing as a way to cover up crimes.
Right.
So, I mean, what happens if in Hollywood, where these people make their living doing this, all of a sudden they pass a no-mask law?
You think you can make a good living doing that in Hollywood? I bet you can. Everything is like twice as expensive in Hollywood. And I don't know why, because when we went through, it looked like an atomic bomb went off. I mean, it was...
That's why they film all those disaster movies there, Sean.
Ah! That was terrible.
I try.
I told you about Evil Dead. Can you believe that?
You told me that you weren't fond.
Yeah, I was not fond of the Evil Dead, although, you know... I'm sure the it's campy, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be a cult following for it. So,
I've heard mixed reviews. Some people love it, some people don't. So
we need to. Hey, did you see the story? It just came up on the news feed. 6-inch alien versus giant floating head.
The giant floating head is the story I just read, so I don't know what the 6-inch alien.
No, the floating head, whatever. But it just came up about the.
Oh
six
yeah, just, it was mine.
Booger-eating, nose-picking health benefits. It's come out of Canada.
You must have been happy to hear this one, Sean.
Canadian professor digs in.
Oh.
Get it?
Ba-dum-bum.
And then they show a picture of some guy. Oh, let's see here. Snack time, it says. Only out of Canada, huh? With these. A Canadian biochemistry professor is studying whether picking and eating your boogers could have health benefits. Here you go, G&D Nation. We know that's what, you know, everybody out there listening just went, what? And pulled their finger out of their nose or somewhere else. I don't know.
I thought that Canadian biochemists studied the benefits of beer.
Yeah. Somebody's got their finger somewhere else. Don't put it back in your nose. You know what I mean? That's where it's at. You're not following me, Demon Hunter. Okay, according to the Canadian...
I'm not following you. I just threw a joke at you. You just rolled right.
What? What'd you do it again? Do it again. I want to hear
your story. Read your story.
Did the moment pass? Give me another joke. I want to hear it.
No, it's fine.
Scott Napper, who teaches at University of Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan, theorizes that the mucus in our noses, which traps germs before they get into our body, could help train our noses, or train our immune system by exposing it to germs. He wants to conduct a study in which a study group is introduced to some form of molecule, then have half the study... Oh, man, that beer's kicking in. And then have half the study group pick their noses and eat the contents. The study would gauge the body's reaction to the molecule. You're sick, man, for sending this story. And the mucus around it. Huh? The body's going to... they're going to judge how it reacts to the mucus around the...
Want to be on that study team.
You do. I think the challenge would be getting volunteers to participate in this experiment, he told the Canadian Free Press with a laugh. Ha-ha! Especially if you didn't know which group you were going to fall into. Huh?
Oh.
I wonder what group he's going to fall into. If you're a nose picker, you're going to fall into the group that doesn't get laid. I tell you right now what your group's going to...
How does that group feel, Sean?
What's that?
How does that group feel?
Oh, I wouldn't know. Booger pickers, I can't do... Yeah, I can't do stories about that. How nasty.
Exactly how I feel. Ugh.
See? Impure! Impure!
Impure!
You're dirty. These stories are terrible.
Where did you come up with these?
I don't know. It's a good thing you grabbed them, though. In the news! Is that all the news we got?
That's all the news we have today.
What about the, Zombie Jeans. Yeah, we'll save that for next week, dude.
Well, that's up to you. If you want, I found that one specifically for you, Sean. So if you want to read that one, that's
fine. I don't want to do it. Hey, guys, you check out on the live feed that we got going on right now that we have the pictures up. I've done some changes to it. You see a lady behind our logo that's fainting because of our awesomeness. Huh?
You pointed that out because I said, oh, that wasn't smoke?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
you can see her. Normal people can see her. Clean your spectacles. Hey, I tried to take the... good story. Good story. I tried to... You know the G&D Magic 8-Ball? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's been here in studio for a while. And I actually got it last Christmas. And I put it here in the studio. And I thought, well, how fun would this be when Nathan throws some kind of goofy question at me? I could just say...
You a pothead fucker?
Let me go to the Magic 8-Ball. So that's what I did. I had it sitting here on the desk. And you know that here recently, the Magic 8-Ball, for some reason, has lost the go juice or whatever's inside it.
Lost its power?
Lost its power. I don't know. There's no holes in it. I mean, nothing's leaked out. It just doesn't have... Hold on. It's something's coming in. It says, it is certain. See, and I didn't ask it nothing. But it's... you can hear it. See, and it doesn't have the fluid in it, so the little triangle doesn't move around.
Well, if it doesn't have the fluid in it...
No, it does have a little bit, but not enough for it to make a full circle, or something's collapsed in there and it doesn't...
You broke and magic...
Now it says most likely.
You have destroyed the magic.
I told you, you can't destroy a Magic 8-Ball. It's like the Ouija. You can't. Did you know you can't even burn them? I wonder if I can burn this Magic 8-Ball. Remember that old wives tale that you couldn't burn a... Huh?
Please don't try.
You couldn't burn a Ouija board?
Please get on top of me.
Huh? Did you ever hear that?
Board? They light up really fast.
Have you burnt one before?
I may have.
Oh my God, all the chubby white lighters across the land are freaking out.
I'm ready for sex.
Yes.
They're all saying, now we're Ghostman fans. We don't trust that
one
demon.
One rectal breach coming up.
Yeah, we don't trust him. But anyway, I tried to take the Magic 8-Ball back to the Walmart or Kmart or some mart. Whatever. Shop smart. Shop smart. But what's that from? Movie line. What was that from?
Well,
shop smart. Shop smart.
Shop smart. Shop smart. You're quoting.
Not you, okay.
It's Darkness. Army of Darkness. There we go.
Too late.
Too late.
Time's up, buddy. You can't answer 10 seconds after. It's more like five. But anyway,
I'm getting old here. I have to take a moment to think about it.
I took the Magic 8-Ball back, and I thought, you know, they've been cool before about taking stuff back to, to a return policy. It's only like $10, so I'm going to get another one. But I was so angry with them that day, I couldn't do it, because they sold me a terrible Magic 8-Ball, because when I got it in Christmas, I left it set in the box. I hadn't done anything to it. And as soon as I got out of the box, I put it on the desk like a couple weeks ago. It doesn't work. I'm saying, how does it dry out, you know, in 4 or 5 months? Is it not, it's supposed to be sealed. So anyway, I took it back and I told the lady, I said, hey, my Magic 8-Ball, it's not magic. And she went, huh? And I said, yeah, it doesn't work, you know, look at it and everything. And she goes, well, sir, you know, we're going to have a receipt and everything. And I said, well, look, it doesn't work. And you can see it. And I understand, I guess, but they cheated me out of it. I'm thinking about writing a very strongly worded letter to the Magic 8-Ball people.
It's funny. I won't say their name on the air but you have, so it doesn't matter. But yeah. I won't shop there anymore because something similar happened. Chrissy and I got a gift for our wedding.
See?
It was interesting and it was nice. It was a beautiful gift. The person who gave it to us did a wonderful job.
Was it one of them sex swings?
Walmart? Oh no, but I wooed. I said it. Oh no.
Sex swing.
Oh dear.
I went to bring it back.
Yeah.
Gift and exchange it for, you know, something else. And they wouldn't accept it because I had had it for 2 weeks and 2 days.
What's their policy? 3 days?
2 weeks for electronics.
Oh, my God. That's crazy, dude. That's how they get you, because the electronics, that sucks because they know half of them are defective.
And
so
it was ridiculous because I'd gotten it for my wedding. Yeah. I went on my honeymoon. We came back. We opened the presents. There it was. I opened it. It had the receipt inside just in case. I brought it back to them with the receipt. They said I was 2 days late. So yeah. I don't shop there anymore.
You were going to re-gift, weren't you?
No, I'll use the gift. It was a video camera. I loved it very, very much. I just wanted one in HD if I could get it, you know?
And yeah.
They wouldn't accept it as an exchange. Hey, two quick shout-outs I want to do this today, Sean. One.
Shout it out.
My sister's 62nd birthday was this month.
62nd birthday.
62nd birthday. Maybe I shouldn't have said which birthday it was. Ooh, I mean, she might get mad at me now. But 62nd birthday. And she is retiring next month. So big retirement party there for my sister. Congratulations, Christina. And my niece, Elizabeth Ann, or Bethany as I like to call her, had triplets last week.
Okay.
Identical triplets.
Oh, my goodness. You know how rare that is? How rare is that? What's the percentage of it?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Sean, and that's why I looked it up and then accidentally took the page down, so I don't have the information here.
Here's the crowd cheering for your family. Congratulations, everybody. We love you.
So apparently it's one in every 200 million.
One in every 200 million.
Of naturally occurring identical triplets.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that sounds right to me. I think I seem to remember meeting quite a few triplets in my life. And that just, well, now it says one in 200 million.
I would definitely like to
odds of naturally occurring triplets. So
I would definitely like to try with all the women of the world too.
My niece is paranormal, Sean.
Is she?
There you go. One in every 200 million.
I'd like to try to see if I could have quadruplets or whatever.
I'm ready for sex.
You're just going to keep trying until you have them, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to
practice makes perfect. You know what they say.
Yeah. As long as the you know, I'll help a poor family out that needs, you know, children or whatever. I'll go to the house and...
Oh, so...
If your wife's really hot, that's...
I'm ready for sex.
That's terrible. That's terrible. That's so, Sean. That's so ghost, man.
That is so good. So, hey, Sean, it's getting near that hour, so there's still our update we have to give everybody today.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
There we go.
Forgot all about it. Here we go, guys. Demon Hunter's looking out for you. The zombie... Whatever. Here you go, Demon.
Hi, this is Malto from the Zombie Research Society. And here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Hey, there is a chance that things are more dangerous than they seem.
Uh-oh.
There are all kinds of molds, fungi, chemicals, biohazards, and much, much more out there that could lead the world to where we must face the dangers of the undead.
Anal warts.
Yeah, there you go. Flesh-eating monsters that we all must be prepared to face. Keeping this in mind, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show spend our weeks preparing, searching, and looking for updates on news networks and health websites to keep our listeners prepared and up to date on the most... Wow, I messed that up. My own report. Prepared and up to date for the possibility of an apocalyptic situation. We call it the Zombie Alert System. It's brought to you by Midnight Syndicate and the Zombie Research Society, and it starts right now. Now, Sean, normally you know I go through and read a report of everything I found this week.
I thought I already started. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
But this week I didn't really have a whole lot of stuff to bring up.
Well, I mean, the guy in Spider-Man suits and stuff could be...
And the guy... I didn't get to read the news article about the...
Yeah, you should use that one for the zombie update. And, of course, the woman crawling in. People are infected,
and,
man.
And the guy living with the corpse. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. We didn't read any of those either.
That one about the gentleman who was living with a corpse for 3 months.
The short and long of it was... The cops busted in and found this cat living off this lady's social security checks, and she was dried up, man. She was, no, it's not what you're thinking. She had been dead for like 3 or 4 months.
Well, and I believe they had been engaged prior to the shot.
They were engaged?
They were engaged.
Sexually?
Well, if they were 60-something and 71, but I suppose it's possible. Sure.
I wonder if they were... she had been dead for a while, so I wonder if they were, I wonder, you think they were? Or you think the cops busted in? It was like a...
Wow, Sean.
Norman Bates thing.
Let's look at the facts here of living with corpses, since it is the zombie research report. Yeah. This happened in Redford Township in Michigan.
Michigan.
Man lives with corpse.
Everything happens in Michigan.
For months, police say.
Yeah.
An elderly woman who lived in a mobile home in the Redford Township of Michigan had not paid her rent in months, leaving the landlord with little choice but to evict her.
Oh my goodness.
When it came time to kick the 72-year-old woman, Marquis, out of her house, however, the manager of the Long's Mobile Home Court.
Mobile Home, eh? Yeah.
And court office made the gruesome discovery. After a 64-year-old man opened the door to the woman's residence, the landlord peeked in and noticed a corpse on the sofa bed. Reported.
Sounds like a sitcom to me, brother. Huh?
Neighbors told the news station that the man had been living with Marquis and didn't act right.
Living with corpse. Yeah.
Corpse. Well, apparently anybody living with a corpse probably isn't acting right.
Right.
Officers noticed a pungent smell upon their arrival.
Pungent. I bet they did.
Okay. And observed the corpse in the room immediately to the right of the front door.
Right.
Let's see here. The corpse had obviously been decaying for some time and was practically dried out.
Yeah, baby!
Authorities like Marquis think Marquis passed away in November.
Yeah, baby!
Apparently attributing her death to natural causes.
Yeah.
Police later arrested the man and charged him for failing to report a death and for fraud related to the living off of her finances after her passing. They also charged him with mutilation.
Yeah, baby!
What do you do to him?
Noting that the corpse's arms had been separated from the right shoulder.
Oh! Yeah, baby!
What was he using them for?
They don't say that. I probably think we shouldn't tell our listeners.
They could take it.
It'll be.
But, on top of this living with corpses, Sean, there have been some other interesting things that happened this week. There's a mysterious slick off the coast of Puerto Rico.
A slick. In Puerto Rico.
It may not be oil, but it is brown and has no sheen.
Yeah, baby!
So they don't know what's actually spilt into the water down there in Puerto Rico.
Right.
There's been a mysterious outbreak of Salmonella St. Paul infections linked to imported cucumbers within the U.S.
Well, you're not supposed to drink the water because it gives you a case of the explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, baby!
We moved on from that, Sean. We're now on dangerous cucumbers. Go ahead. Find a joke for the cucumber, Sean.
I don't,
you know it's there. Work on it. Work on it.
Cucumber, I'm working. Here, as best I can do. There you go.
And there is still the increase in the human infections of the avian H7N9 flu in China.
China?
These things put together, Sean, I think we're... If it really wasn't for the guy living at the corpse this week, I'd say there's no real threat going to us right now. So, according to our own rules, we can raise the zombie alert as much as we want at any time, but we can only lower it one at a time. So we're dropping down to guarded this week.
Guarded!
So, folks, stay guarded. The Zombie Research Society and Midnight Syndicate are here for you, along with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, to bring you these updates every week. So stay safe, and we'll get more news on how to protect ourselves in case of a zombie outbreak later on tonight.
I think so. I'll be ready for it. Big MS, Midnight Syndicate, guys. That's I got to put their logo up on the news segment. I keep forgetting I put it on at the end and at the beginning. And
But, Sean, our time's almost up.
Here we go, guys. We're going to go to break. Tonight's guest, you don't want to miss it, from the New York Times bestseller list, author, lecturer, actor Max Brooks, guys. Comes by studio to talk about his book, World War Z. soon to be a blockbuster movie. Demon Hunter?
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back.
After this.
Zombie Research Society, also seen on AMC's Talking Dead, and you're listening to The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
guys, listeners around the world, welcome back. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Hey, I got to tell you, what about that band? That band, it was,
liked it there, Sean. It was good. I enjoyed it. Definitely.
Here come the monies. Here come the monies. Here come the mummies, guys. You can find out more about them at herecomethemummies.com. And the song, I think, was called Believe. Sorry, guys. I forgot the name. Yeah, Believe. Do you believe in things you can't see? Anyway, Demon Hunter, we don't want to make the man of the hour wait. Tonight's guest, guys, from the New York Times bestsellers list, author, lecturer. Should I play the music? Maybe I should play the
sure,
music.
Why not?
I don't know. No, I can't. I'm not going to play it. I don't have a cue.
You can't figure out how it works, can you?
Yeah. Big man, author, lecturer, actor, Max Brooks, guys, the creator of the book that will soon be a blockbuster movie. But before that, it's an awesome book, guys. You got to check it out. World War Z is in the house. We're going to talk about everything he's done. Max, what's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. Just trying to keep it real or safe, as the case may be. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Hey, did you hear your buddy on the intro coming back? Matt Moak.
Matt Moak is the man, and it's very good to know he's out there keeping us safe.
He's keeping us safe. I had talked to him a couple, I'd say about a month ago, and he said, man, you got to get hold of Max. Because, I watched some of your lectures. You are all over the place, and you're talking about the zombies. You've been a writer for SNL. You've done it all, man. You know, and I don't know where to start. Demon Hunter, I mean, where do you want to go with this?
I'm pretty sure you just covered everything, Sean. So thanks for listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, everybody.
Thanks, Mac. You rock, brother. No, but you've done the tours, you know, and I didn't want to ask you the same questions. You come on tonight, man, you've been on the stage, you're like, yeah, here's how you survive, and this is what, and this is how you do this. But we have a bet going here on the show with the survival of zombies, okay?
Really?
Yeah. In case of an apocalypse, I say I'm taking the family, and I'm going up through the roof because, you know, in the attic, you only have a small crawl space. You can go up there. You can board that sucker up. If you got supplies up there, you can get the high ground, the roof, and you can just pick off. But I know what you're going to say already. But I think that's the best. Demon Hunter wants to make the same mistake that they made in the classic Night of the Living Dead and put himself in a basement. What's your take on it, Max?
No, I think the basement is a great idea because, number one, there's no way out.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way out of the attic.
Yes, there is. You can jump from the roof.
You're going to jump from the roof with your baby.
If you're in the attic, you have access to, number one, fresh air, number two, rainwater, number three, sunlight. If you have solar panels on your roof, you're good to go.
Tell him,
Max.
Number
four, Hilo Rescue. If, you know, it's not the Bush administration and this isn't Katrina.
So in case of a zombie, don't call Bush. Zombie apocalypse.
You know, this isn't right, Sean. For the first time, you have an expert come on and say you're right about something.
And this is Max Brooks, baby. You just got trumped.
You know, Max, I haven't gotten to read your book yet. How do people feel about the fact that you've written a book to help zombies survive?
You clearly have not read the book because it's not about how to help zombies survive. It's about how to help us survive zombies.
Oh, okay.
That was his attempt at humor, Max.
No. The book on how to surrender to zombies, that's the one from France.
Yeah. Lay down your arms. We want peace.
You had them change it for the translation, did you?
That's terrible. To our listeners in France, vive la France. We love you.
So does Brooks, do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or other affiliates.
That's it.
Hey, Matt, when you found out, we're going to jump right into this because, as you said, the book and the movie, you are the book man. You took care of World War Z,
right.
The book. The movie's another venture.
Survival guides.
But we were talking earlier, how does one go about having Brad Pitt contact them and say, I want to turn your book into a movie?
That's a really good question. 100 years ago, back in 2006, I was approached by them to option the rights for the book even before it had hit the shelves. So I was for that. I said, sure. When you option a book to Hollywood, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that you are not invited to be part of the day-to-day creative decisions making the movie. That's pretty much the way it goes in Hollywood. And you got to be okay with that going in. Unless you're J.K. Rowling, you're pretty much not going to have a ticket to dance.
Right.
So you just gotta, you know, you gotta take the risk, hope for the best, cross your fingers, and go to the premiere. So that's pretty much all I'm doing.
Well, that's it, Bob. And I remember you said if you hear a guy in the background saying this sucks or this is great, it could be you because you don't know anything about the movie.
I literally, what I have seen has been the trailers. I've seen what you guys have seen. Because the truth is, if I have no control over the process, why would I want to read the script or see what they're doing?
Absolutely.
Now, when you saw the trailers, did you sit there and go, okay, this looks good? Or, well, you know what? That's not fair to ask you.
Well, you know, the truth is, like, I don't judge anything by a trailer. I literally don't know. You never know what's going to happen in a trailer.
Right.
I mean, we're talking Hollywood. We're talking about the same industry that is about to bring you The Great Gatsby in 3D.
Ooh, it's exciting.
That's good. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do that one. Oh, here, have a martini.
That's awesome.
Look, the plane is flying. It's almost in front of you.
Right.
Excited.
Look at my long 1920 cigarette holder. It's in 3D.
You know, I don't know how they, because the World War Z, you had the zombie survival guide, the recorded attacks.
Right.
And what was the first one, Max? Was it Closure Limited or what was the first novel?
The first one was Zombie Survival Guide. Then there was World War Z, and then there was Zombie Survival Guide Recorded Attacks.
Okay.
And Closure Limited is just a collection of zombie short stories.
Right.
And then in June of this year, in less than 2 months, or about 2 months, my new comic book, The Extinction Parade, is coming out.
Yes. And I've seen some of your work with the G.I. Joe stuff that you did.
Yes.
And that was amazing.
I did G.I. Joe a little while ago. G.I. Joe Hearts and Minds, which is essentially like a day in the life of a Joe or a Cobra.
Which would be very confusing because you got good and bad there. So it'd be a bipolar moment all the way through the book, right?
If only I could do it.
That's it. You could.
Well, we believe that, Max. We believe that. It's. I've been looking in here. I have to say, I was very interested in the fact that when I looked up, you know, questions to ask Max Brooks, because I'm not that creative. I search the internet like everybody else, and something came up called like Evie, and it said, you know, facts about Max Brooks. So I thought I'd be, you know, I'd give it a try here and take your name out and type my name in and see what happened. And it said, facts about Nathan Schoonover. And it came up and said, sorry, we have no information about this person. And I thought to myself, okay, this is now my way to judge whether or not I've made it. I'm going to see if I can get on the EV website. So,
no, that's not the way to judge whether you've made it. That's not the way. The way to judge whether you've made it or not is type in, go to Google, in quotes, and type your name, and then type sucks.
Well, obviously, Max, you did not see our TV show.
Yeah.
If I type that in, we get website after website after website.
Well, apparently, the Max,
then you made it. Brother, you were there.
We made it. Just the paycheck stuff coming in, Max.
it don't get higher than that. Wow. I mean, if you got website after website saying that you just blow, then you did it.
See?
We have YouTube sites dedicated to how awful we are.
Epic fail.
Then there you go.
Epicfail.com.
You're done. Pop the cork, baby. You're there.
Hey, Max, you're out in L.A. I remember you were talking about when you did one of your college appearances about some of the strong cities to be in during a zombie apocalypse. Could you go in a little bit about that, brother, and tell us why, what cities, and why to be in those in case of an apocalypse?
Right. Well, people always assume it's urban versus rural. That's not true at all. It's not the city. It's the specific city you're in. Like, I was in New York during 9/11. Bam, that's the hero city. I mean, look at just what happened in Boston. They shut that whole city down to grab two dudes. Like, wow, you do not want to mess with Boston.
That's it.
L.A.? Not for sure. You know, like, our power goes out when it's windy outside.
Yeah. Well, it would be hard to know for you guys if something was a zombie or not. You got so many freaks. Be like, was that a zombie?
We get fires, we get floods, we get earthquakes, we get the LAPD starting riots and then leaving.
the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, we have riots break out when we're happy.
See?
So I'm not sure LA is the city you actually want to be in for a zombie apocalypse.
That's it. Now, you had said you were not from Los Angeles. You're from... No, you grew up in Los Angeles.
I grew up in Los Angeles. Yeah, I mean, I was born in New York, but I grew up in LA. So, okay. You know, I know better than anybody how truly vulnerable the City of Angels is.
Right. So the best place would be New York then.
Yeah, if I was going to be in any city, I would either at this point be in New York or in Boston. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be in those two cities.
Would you?
Well, you know, I always felt it'd be safer to get out into the woods somewhere. What's wrong with hiding out in the woods?
Basically, because there's no such thing anymore.
And
you know, what you think are the woods on the North American continent is actually just places where nobody happens to be right now.
Right.
You know, and don't. I mean, remember, 300 million Americans. When the cities empty out of hungry refugees, there ain't going to be no more woods. On Z-Day plus two, there's not going to be a deer left in this country.
Oh yeah.
And don't think about going north to Canada, because what we call the Great Zombie Plague, they call the Great Payback.
They hate us, for you insiders, don't they?
Yeah, no, the Canadians, on D-Day 1, the Canadians are going to be waiting for us with a sharpened hockey stick and a Molson.
laughing it up. Hey, Max, I got to tell you about the one thing you had said about the zombies and what you were talking about, the woods, they're not going to exist. But the forest creatures will always be there, right? Like, I got 50-pound squirrels running around my neighborhood. I live on the south side of Indianapolis, Indiana. Beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's a nice town, but you're right. If apocalypse ever happens by Indiana, because, you know, there'd be farmers out in the fields, and what's that bright light? Oh, that guy's eating my brain. I mean, that'd be it. But what about, why don't you ever see, and maybe you can put this in your upcoming book, is why don't you ever see woodland creatures infected? Because you see zombies go down, the infected. You can't get their blood on you. Right. You can't be bit by them. But you know the rats and the deer and every little nasty thing out in the woods that eats on human flesh would get a piece of it. Then there'd be no way, bro, because you'd be sleeping in your bed and the field mouse jump on you and take a bite and you'd be like, oh my goodness, or a mosquito.
I hear that all the time. And my theory about it is that the zombie virus it zombifies humans and kills everything else.
Okay.
Which is not to say that woodland creatures are safe, because in my mind, zombies eat everything.
Right.
Like I said, there's not going to be a deer or a field mouse. There's not going to be a lot out there. Let me put it this way. Turtles are going the way of the dodos on Z-Day for plus three.
The dodo bird.
Turtles seem to have an instinct. I think they're going straight for the under the water as soon as the first zombie comes around. And zombies, let's face it. Turtles tend to be a little bit faster than most zombies.
Hopefully. Because, yeah. You know, I get asked a lot about fast zombies versus slow zombies, and I say, you know, literally fast zombies, literally and figuratively, are not in my book.
Right. Now, Max, I heard you talking about, of course, one of the great movies, and you're a Romero fan. You're huge. You pay...
No.
Yeah, you pay Daddy Romero all the respect in the world for his creations that he's done, but you did say a couple things about the movies. You know, you said it's cool to watch. You know, all of a sudden you take a mall parking lot shuttle bus or airport shuttle bus and you turn it into a, you know, but you're like, hey, man, who's a mechanic in this room? And nobody raised their hand. And you said,
right.
And you brought up all these good points. Can you kind of revisit that for everybody and tell them, you know, what would the real thing look like? How could you be prepared? What's the most necessary items to have in case of an apocalypse?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, look, in all my lectures, and I come from Hollywood, and so I know Hollywood, and I understand the point of Hollywood's to entertain. So you got to put things in movies that look cool, but couldn't happen in real life. And likewise, in real life, the things that would really save your life are really boring and would really not make it into a movie.
Right.
I get that, you know? Like, for example, I've never seen a zombie movie where someone has died of dehydration. You know, that's really boring. You know, I've never seen a scene where, like, our main character dies of scurvy.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Guess what? In real life, you don't get enough vitamin C, you're a goner. It's going to take a while,
right.
But you're a goner. So, likewise, when you see cool things, like in the remake, in Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, and they remake a shuttle bus into an armored personnel carrier. You know, come on.
The A-Team.
Awesome.
I pity the fool.
Yeah, but in real life, how many of us are licensed mechanics who know what looks like under the hood?
Right.
I don't.
Well, I can rebuild a car as long as it was manufactured before 1990. So
before 1990.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So basically, before there was a China, you're fine.
Yes. Yes.
What year was the first Ford?
I could rebuild an old Ford Ranger like nobody's business.
Big on those.
Good for you.
Those crank starts are really get us through there, Demon Hunter, through the apocalypse.
Well, I mean, there's little things that no one ever talks about, like. You know, like I've seen zombie movies, or indeed, I've seen post-apocalyptic movies, forget zombies, where 20, 30 years after the Big Bang, people are scavenging gasoline. Remember that? Gasoline?
Yeah.
How many of, we all know, right? Gasoline gunks up after a little while. You can't store gasoline for 30 years. That's not going to happen.
Right. Heck, with the ethanol they put in it nowadays, it's no good after 3 months.
Right. So, but that doesn't look good for a movie. You know what I mean? So therefore, you have to put in traumatic moments. And that's what I really talk about in my lectures. Just like, look, movies are cool. They're fun. I love them, too. I love video games. But in real life, it's not going to be about guns and ammo and motorcycles. It's going to be about nutrition, dehydration, dry socks. You know, you ever seen a guy die of trench foot?
Yeah. No, I've never seen
it. I've never seen a movie, a zombie movie, where a guy drinks out of a puddle
right.
and gets some protozoans and craps himself to death.
Oh! Where's my fart noises? I didn't have them queued up. Thanks, Matt.
It's not cool and sexy. It's not going to be like, tonight on The Walking Dead, cholera outbreak.
This time Rick goes down.
You know they don't have flushies anymore, so it's...
Rick gets explosive diarrhea. It's personal.
Yeah, you're not going to see people like, oh my God, quick, we only have until the commercial break, manufacture penicillin.
That's funny about that. You said The Walking Dead, man. Every time they go around, it's amazing how the pharmacies are just so happen to have the pregnancy test, just one left, mind you, but they have the pregnancy test, the Vicodin, the whatever. They got everything, right?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, I don't watch Walking Dead anymore after they fired the show's creator.
The best, your friend.
I checked out. When they fired Frank Darabont, I was like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Really?
Amazing.
Like, the dude who gave a Shawshank? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, and he was the best. And you know, I don't even, I've heard rumors. Do you know I'm sure you know the inside scoop, but you can't say nothing. But I heard the creator got a little too involved with the director. And, you know, we know a little bit about that with our little TV show. There was, 17 directors on the stage, 18 executive producers, all of them screaming. Yeah. So
it can get raw. I mean, the truth is, I'm actually buddies with Frank, and he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't like the gossip.
Right.
He's way too much of a classy guy, which maybe that's why they fired him. Like, wait, this is a genuine human being. You can't have him working in television.
Yeah. What's this guy? He's too real.
Careful, Max. You're starting to sound like a genuine human being yourself. You could ruin your career in Hollywood.
What career in Hollywood?
Yeah.
We know that feeling.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did read the book.
I did have one thing to bring up with you. I was, again, searching your name. I came up with the College Student's Guide to Surviving a Zombie Attack, where they do pay tribute to you for the Zombie Survival Guide.
Oh, how kind.
And I was just reading some of the things that they kind of like point out as possible signs of, you know, somebody turning into a zombie, which tended to look to me more like a actual night of drinking and drug doing in any college. After the first hour, pain and disorientation. After the second hour, chills and slight diarrhea and vomiting.
Oh, boy.
After 8 hours, numbing of the extremities.
No.
After 11 hours, paralysis in the lower body and an overall numbness.
You already said
16 hours is coma. 17 hours is zero brain activity.
Yeah.
And 23 hours is reanimation. So, yeah, that sounds like a typical night out of drinking for any college.
And look, I say this in all my college lectures. And I say, dudes, especially I say it to dudes. don't be proactive. You know what I mean? Like, I understand you want to be prepared, and you should be, but please don't be proactive. Please don't. If you see someone stumbling around the quad on a Friday night, please don't run out with your machete and decapitate, you know, because saying campus security, no, officer, I thought it was a zombie. That's really not going to carry a lot of weight.
It was an ugly chick. Right. Can't do that. Cannot do that.
It's funny, too, because I caught myself this morning walking into, I got called into the office this morning at like 8 a.m., and I'm walking up.
Did you kill somebody?
Yeah, well, the legs are still stiff from sleeping and all that. And I'm stumbling towards the door, and I looked into the glass doors and went, wow, I could be mistaken for a zombie right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I'm just like, guys, just be really, really careful with this stuff. Because, you know, this is a problem. Unfortunately, we are living in a country with 300 million guns, and God knows how much I had been diagnosed mental illness.
Oh, God.
So
sometimes
so
in the same house.
Yeah, you know, there's a very big reason in my book under general rules. Number one is obey the law. So, because I don't want anybody sort of taking the law into their own hands, being proactive and saying, I'm going to rid the world of zombies. No, thank you.
Hey, Max, you know, I was thinking, brother, about, and I know you've heard this a thousand times, but all the crazies, some of them, a lot of them there in Los Angeles, but you've had a lot of people here in the last couple of years in the news, biting off faces, craziness. Everybody says LSD, all this stuff, but people have been taking LSD for years. Nobody's gotten their face eaten off, or at least not been in the news. You know, rumor has it that this dude was tested, nothing was in his blood or whatever. What do you think about that? Do you think it was something, you know, chemical that was in there that caused this, or is it the start of something? And
no, this is what nothing ticks me off more than when people start to panic. Because look, if you've read any of my books, you know that basically the unwritten rule of all of them is don't panic, keep calm, look at the fact, take a deep breath, and really think about the situation, which is like what nobody does now. And so people were calling me, trying to get my take on it. Like, hey, you're the zombie guy. Does it sound like a zombie outbreak? And I was like, well, after they shot him, did they discover he'd been dead for a week beforehand?
See?
I said, well, no. I said, well, then he was not a zombie.
Right.
He is a crazo. Because what they call the, I don't know, you know, in Miami, what they call the zombie face-eating panic epidemic bloodbath, I call Hollywood Boulevard on a Wednesday night.
Somebody trying to eat your face?
Yeah.
That's it, baby.
Well, now, Matt, since we've established that in the event of a zombie apocalypse, I'm getting bitten before Sean, as the newly formed zombie,
what's the
best way for me to get out there and get the best meal without getting my head blown off?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, you're actually not going to become a zombie because you're going to be locked in your basement. So you're going to die of either dehydration, malnutrition, or the stench of your own feces.
You haven't seen the preparations I've made in my basement.
Well, unless you have a sewer pipe that's going to lead it out and a greenhouse that's powered by, I don't know, muscle power, nuclear reactors, solar cells on the roof. Unless you have a biosphere in your basement, I wouldn't put too much down on your sustainability.
See?
So basically, I wouldn't say you're going to get zombified. I would say what's probably going to happen is, you know, after the zombie plague and they break down the door, they go, oh my God, look at that. Yeah. Look at that skeleton surrounded by a mound of his own feces.
Oh, don't laugh, Sean. People have said that about you, only without the skeleton part. And I'm number of times.
Are you going to be a very stinky zombie if you get infected? Because you might be safe, Max. If they break in, even the zombies might be like, "Holy shoot, let's go on down the road." This guy's nuts, huh?
They might.
Part of my anti-zombie approach: scare them away with the smell.
But I tell you what, guys, we are about 2 minutes till 8:30. I know Max has got to go, Demon Hunter, and Max, I just want to say, brother, I love all your books. Your book, Getting Bought, couldn't happen to a better guy. I hope you keep pumping those out. I can't wait to see your new work. And is there any websites or anything or any new information you want to get out there before we go?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is there any websites or new information you want to get out before we get out of here?
Yeah. I mean, there's always maxbrooks.com. I'm actually going to be posting about the Extinction Parade. That's the name of my comic. That's going to be all my new posts on that. Max Brooks Zombie World. There's always the Max Brooks Facebook stuff, which I have nothing to do with, but they seem to know what I'm doing. So
okay.
It's out there.
All right, Demon Hunter, any more questions?
I just wanted to ask, Max, you know, Sean and I deal with the fact that we are radio hosts and therefore huge disappointments to our families and everything else. But, you know, everything that's coming around for you now, the publications, the purchases, you know, how does your, when your family looks at you, are they like, well, finally, or are they really happy for you, or what's going on?
I think they sort of look at me the way that your family probably looks at you, which is, yay, they have a job.
Yes. And they're out of the house.
That's it.
Except Nathan.
Which is, you know, I think, isn't that the dream of every parent? Wow, he can pay his own bills.
Yay.
Hey, Max, yay. I just want to say before we wrap up, brother, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I'm a huge fan of your dad. So tell him the G&D Show loves what he's done, man. What a legacy. And you're out there, and you're doing your own thing, and it's amazing, brother, the whole family.
Well, thank you. He's actually over here right now having dinner.
Oh, great. Hey, Mel, could you come on the show? We just had a cancellation last week. Hey, Max, we love you, man. Could you stay on the line for 1 second?
Sure, gentlemen. And just remember, guys, that when it all comes down, there's no substitute for an efficient sewage system.
See? Demon Hunter, you're gone, buddy. You're lost in poo.
I'm putting in the solar-powered generator to follow to run the sump pump tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Brilliant.
That's it. Okay, Max. Stay on the line 1 second. Demon Hunter, we got to wrap it.
It's about time because, you know, I'm terribly sorry that we actually have to end this show. I was having a lot of fun.
I was, too. I didn't get half the questions for Max. You might want to ask him if we can get him back on. Hey, guys. Special thanks to our guest tonight, Max Brooks, author of the award-winning World War Z, guys. Make sure to check that out if you haven't already. Special thanks to Creations by Souls Denounced. That's soulsdenounced.com. Midnight Syndicate, thank you for the music, guys. And Serial Weird, make sure to go to www.serialweird.com. Also, midnightsyndicate.com. And check out all their stuff, guys. Hey, thanks to Here Comes the Mummies. HereComesTheMummies.com. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
We love you.
We love you. Good night, everybody.